In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ. I believe. Help my unbelief. Don't know about you, but I tend to say that a lot. Because I believe. I recite the creed. I say the prayers, the Lord Prayer. I believe up here. Up here. But a lot of times when push comes to shove, that belief tends to falter. And trust me, I've had a lot of reasons for it to falter. And it falters because my belief doesn't come from here all the time. It doesn't come from the heart. We are so focused on the intellect that we can even proclaim in our hubris that we can know God by our intellect alone. I'm sorry, but that's poppycock. We can't. God is unknowable. He is inscrutable. He is beyond our feebleness in intellect. We say that, well, not feeble, but we say most of that during the liturgy. We don't know God, but we can know how he comes to us and what he offers us. And Christ says in this very gospel, if you believe, if you have faith, your prayers will be answered. But that belief has to move from here, from the head to the heart. We have to not only know, but we have to fully move from our heart that God has compassion on his creation. How do we get there then? How do we get from simply thinking about God and thinking about our beliefs and thinking and knowing what God is to truly getting to the heart, what is called nous, N-O-U-S, from the heart? How do we get there? Well, St. Paul tells us in the epistle reading that we have this hope, an anchor of the soul, a hope which is both sure and solid. There are two things that this hope is anchored on. First and foremost, it is God says he will do this for us. He says it. And the second is, he swears by himself an oath that he will do this for us. In this passage, St. Paul is talking about Abraham. And God has told Abraham that he will be the father of generations, as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sands in the sea. And yet, Abraham never saw this. He never saw that he became father of the generations in his lifetime. Never. And yet he was accounted all righteousness because he believed in his heart that what God tells him is what in fact will happen. And St. Paul says, God has not only done that to Abraham, who never saw the fruition of this promise, this covenant, but he also tells us the same thing. This new covenant that he has with us, that Jesus has entered in to the Holy of Holies, behind the veil, to offer sacrifice, to offer himself as a sacrifice for us, to take away our sins, to give us everything that we were created to inherit, to begin with. Christ has done this. Do we believe it? Do we feel it? Do we know it in our heart? That's the question. Because in this world today, where Satan still has dominion, where it's fallen, there is everything that seeks to take us out of our belief in heart. Takes us everywhere. And in your bulletin, I list 31 steps that St. John Climacus of the Ladder has listed that we have to seek to overcome, because this is still a fallen world. It just doesn't know it's been redeemed yet. And so we struggle every day to overcome this. We're like this father who truly just wants his son to be healed, but he doesn't have faith in the heart to find it. Even his apostles, Jesus' apostles, couldn't heal his son. And so he's discouraged. How many of you have ever been discouraged in your faith? If you don't raise your hands, you're lying. You need to come talk to me. It happens. It happens. But discouragement is something we build upon. And if we can build upon it and keep going, we have the faith in Christ, in God, that we can move our faith from our head to our heart. Now, some of you who are totally scientific and analytical going, hey, it's the heart. There's nothing there. You don't think with your heart. If you're saying that, I'm telling you, you need to stop being so legalistic. Your heart is the seat of God. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's where our faith needs to reside. It is where we ask the Spirit to come into us and abide in us. Our heart is where we feel and where we respond and where we can commune with God. Our head, in this case, just sits on our shoulders. It's useful for some things. It's useful for getting started. But if you really want to commune with God, get out of your head, move it to your heart. So how do we do this? Believe. Start with believe. But be like Abraham also, and be patient. Know that we are going to struggle with our passions. Know that we are going to struggle with our sins and the world that is fallen. Know that this is not going to be easy, but it is overcome, and we, with God's help, will overcome. But if it doesn't happen in our lifetime, does that mean we should be discouraged and quit and move on? You're right, not at all. We need to continue to persevere. She was shaking her head. We need to persevere. And we do that by asking for God's grace continually, every day, every moment. Because it is by through God's grace that we receive the salvation he offers us through his self-sacrifice. And through his self-sacrifice, we are brought up and raised from the dead just as he was. And that we too will find fulfillment in the promise and the oath of God. Because God does not lie. Sure, he's omnipotent, but that doesn't mean he's capable of lying, because it is not within his nature. God in his nature is love, not deception. The one who is the deceiver has been overcome. He's in his death throes. We just have to deal with it for a little while longer. but God will give us the strength to do just that, to deal with the deception just a little longer. Have faith, proclaim your faith, rely and trust in God, receive the grace of the Holy Spirit through the sacraments, and you will persevere, and you will receive the covenant that he has made with us, that he made with Abraham so long ago, that we will be his people, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.